Amen. What a privilege it is to be back in Idaho, here in Eagle. And one thing that I've learned to appreciate over the 5 years that we've been pastoring in Phoenix, Arizona, the one thing that I appreciate the most is green grass. Oh. After lunch, I'm going out to this field out here and I'm going to roll around in it. It's great. Thank you for having us here today. And I'd like for my wife, Londa, her last name is Huwa as well. Would you stand and turn around, show them your tan? Amen. She's a great lady. Amen. She told me the other day, she says, "You have moved me around this country so many times." She says, "I know one of these days I'm just going to wake up and I'm going to be in Costa Rica." I don't want to go that far south. Amen. What a joy. It's good to see good friends and family. It's good to have our district superintendent here today. Pastor Doyle Foulkes. There he is, Pastor and Julia Foulkes. Would you guys stand for a moment? Just wave at everybody. He is still my superintendent. And the one thing that I like about him the most is he has always allowed us to call him the Super Nintendo. So we're going to might call him that today. Amen. It's good to see other pastors that are here as well. Pastor Cliff Silvers, I know, and his wife Lynn. They used to pastor in Buell, Calvary Assembly of God, Buell, Idaho. They were one of the first pastors that we met because we had pastored across town. That was back in, 1989 when we first moved to Idaho. And it's good to have you guys here today. And Pastor and Sister Russell, it's good to have you guys. And praise the Lord. I think I could go all the way around here and welcome all kinds of folks that I know. And I'd like for a couple of people that are very special to us that, as far as I'm concerned, other than the Lord, if it wouldn't have been for these two people, that this church might not be here today. Mr. and Mrs. Bob, are you in the house? Would you stand? Amen. They were the custodians at the school. We had met at Eagle Hills Elementary School back October 2nd, 1994, and were there for about 3.5 years renting that school facility. And they were the custodians at that school. And they went to bat for us an awful lot because there were people in town that kind of talked about this separation of church and state garbage, and said, "Why don't you get that church out of there?" And they went to bat for us. And if it wouldn't have been for them, I don't know where this church would be today. So amen. These folks hold special honor with this family here this morning. Amen. I'd like to have your pastor come just for a second. Is your wife here?
She's with the kids.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, not great, but I mean, just... Look forward to meeting her as well. Isn't it nice to have a young pastor? Whoa. How old are you?
37.
37 years old. It was a long time ago when I was 37. I just found this at the Christian bookstore the other day and just wanted to present this to you. It's better than giving you a selfie of myself. It simply says, "Good shepherd, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Acts 20:28. We want to give that
Thank
to you.
Thank you very, very
Amen.
Much.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having us.
Amen. Pastors are very special people. And we love your pastor very much. I've talked to him a few times on the phone, and I'm sure that during our time here in Eagle that we had probably run across him a time or two around the district or so forth. I might have seen him carrying that torch, Praise the Lord. But I've listened to some of his sermons on your website, and boy, you folks are blessed. You've got a true pastor. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Preachers are a dime a dozen, but pastors are few. And you got a pastor and a preacher all in one. Praise the Lord. I hear he mows grass too. That's wonderful. Amen. Hey, while I'm here this morning, just to let you know, Londa and I became grandparents for the fourth time. We have four little granddaughters. Our son Heston and his wife Casey, they're here. And Farron and Tyler are here as well. I'd like to ask them to bring their kids up here on this platform. Don't get dizzy when you're walking up the steps. I mean, this carpet is wild, man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that cute?
Help out the youngest here.
Yes. Come on up, guys. Give them a good hand clap as they come. Amen. Just gather around over here, if you don't mind. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stand in the middle. Grandpa. This is Casey, our daughter-in-law. This is little Heston. Some of you remember him. This is little Heston. This is their family here. This is Ryder and Hayden. They're twins, in case you didn't know. And this is Brindley, who belongs to Farron and Tyler. And Brindley is 3 years old. You may not see her much today, but I'll guarantee you, you will hear her. And this little gal right here, she's 6 days old. Her name is Cora Rose. She was born on Monday at about 7:30 in the morning. 7 pounds, 5 ounces, 20 inches long, and ready to go get them. Amen. I'd like to read just a portion of Scripture to you guys as we dedicate these kids. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, or she, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And then the Bible also tells us in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Children," this is for the kids now, "children, obey your parents in the Lord." Hear that, Heston? For this is right. "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." There's a great theologian that really defined that verse. His name is Bill Cosby. And as he was speaking to his television son Theo back in the 90s, he said, "Theo, I brought you into this world and I can take you out." So what an honor it is today to be able to stand with these kids and just dedicate all of these children to the Lord here this morning. Would you mind maybe just stretching your hand this way towards these families? And I will let you just go ahead and hold the baby, and because they don't usually like me much. So they get nervous and throw up and all that stuff. So let's stretch our hands and let's pray over these families. Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we're so grateful today, God, to be in this house. We're thankful for these families. We're thankful for each of these children, oh God. And Lord, we're here to dedicate all of them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for this family, for my kids, our kids. Lord, many of these folks saw these kids grow up. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hand of protection upon them. Keep them. Keep them safe and sound. Lord, cause these parents to raise up these children in the ways of the Lord, to know and to love the Bible, to know the Word of God, and to promise You from the depths of their hearts that every day that they live under their roofs, Lord, that they will train their children in Your ways, to know and to love the Bible, to obey Your Word, and at an important point in their life, that they receive Jesus Christ into their own hearts and lives and serve You. Thank You, Jesus. We dedicate these children now to You in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. All right. Hey. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. All right. And there's other grandparents here today. This is Casey's mom and dad and uncle from the Bay Area that's here today. They're grandparents too. Right on for grandparents. And Tyler's folks are here as well, and we appreciate these guys. Good to be grandparents. Amen. And these are for you. I'll give those to you in after the service. Amen. I have a little, before I bring you the Word of God, I'm going to promise not to preach real long because I know we're all hungry. But I have a little slide presentation that I'd like to show you of just a few pictures that talks about how the church began and see all the miracles, you know, at least some of the miracles that God has brought this church through. And if you'd like to, can you go ahead and get that up on the screen if you don't mind? There it is. How many of you guys remember that building?
Amen.
That is Eagle Hills Elementary School. And that was where the church first started holding services. October 2nd, 1994 was the very first service. And of course, Mr. and Mrs. Bob were our custodians, and they stayed with us for the whole 3.5 years that we were in that place. And what a place. You know, it was amazing. We met in the lunchroom, folded up the tables, brought out chairs, and had worship service. And we didn't have nice banners like this that are spiritual. You know, ours said things like, try your guts out and have fun, you know, so it was kind of rough in those days. But anyway, next, if you'd like to show the next one. This is, some of you may remember these people. This is Hal and Adele Davis. Adele is the lady, of course, and Hal's he's the man. And these were actually the first two members of this church. And they really helped get the church kicked off and going. And they are both now in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I look forward to seeing them again someday. Amen. Next, if you don't mind. That's us when we were little. The kids were little, but we weren't big, but we were grown up. That was the very first Pastor's Appreciation Day. Have they given you a Pastor's Appreciation Day, Pastor? Yeah. Oh, good. And Londa's holding if you don't mind going back to there, just a moment. Can reverse that? Well, that's okay. Okay, back we go. Londa's holding a photo album there that was handmade, and we still have a lot of those pictures. Some of those pictures are in this room today. She received that as a gift. I received a money tree. Of course, I've spent all the money by now, but that was great. And Farron, she got a little gift there. I don't know what it was, a little package or something. But, you know, poor Heston, look at that kid. He's kind of empty-handed. You know, it's like, hey, you know, I'm sure that if you check things out here in this building, you might find some Power Rangers or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for you. Go to the next one if you don't mind. This is a very special picture. It's one that I'll never forget. It's kind of embedded in my heart. The church hadn't been going but just a few weeks, and we really felt the need to step out on the grass at the church and be led in prayer. A gentleman by the name of Jim Shipley led us all in prayer that day. Just a small group of people at that time, of course. And one of the things that Brother Shipley specifically prayed for was that God would someday, one day, provide this church with their own piece of property and a building.
Amen.
God did that twice. Amen. It let me know that God does hear and He does care. and he answers prayer. This, of course, is our first building that was on Eagle, is still on Eagle Road today. I think it's like an antique store or something. That building was built in 1899, I believe, a long time ago. They used to ride horses to go to church there. It started out as a Catholic church and then became, a Lutheran church and then a Methodist church. We bought it from the Methodists. Somebody say, thank God for the Methodists. And that's the best picture I could find there. There were some people working on some chairs there. Those are the chairs. That's the inside of the sanctuary. Yeah, there's the chairs. You know, who wants to look at chairs? But you can go on to the next one. And the inside of the sanctuary is the next slide. There's the inside. That's Pastor Dwayne Bueller. He was our district superintendent at the time, and he was there to present the church with a certificate of dedication for the building. And we were excited to have him there, and just a great man of God. Next, that's the inside of the sanctuary. We had kind of flip-flopped it around so we could get a bunch of chairs in there. We had 150 chairs that were reupholstered, and all the people in the church just got together and painted the frames, reupholstered the seats. Greg and Dorothy Jungren, we used their garage for I don't know how many days it was. We was in there reupholstering chairs, and we made sure that the staples were a little bit longer so that we could really have some good Pentecostal services, you know, just get up and leap and go. Next, if you don't mind. That's Dorothy Jungen right there. She made some cinnamon rolls or something for the kids, and of course, Heston learned that when he was younger that he kind of lost out on some things, so he made sure he was first in line to get the goodies. And you may remember some of your kids. There's little Josh Bridgewater, and there's Greg and Dorothy's grandsons. There's Amanda Borchert, Matt Borchert. Just you might recognize some of those people. And then one more, I think, two more pictures. Do you know who that is? That's Kylie. Is she here today? Is she in this service? She's in the nursery. She just graduated from high school, I understand. Who'd have thought a little kid like that could get all the way through high school? Man. Just cute as a bug in a rug. And then next, that one's kind of self-explanatory. I don't know how many times I saw some of you people take chairs from the church and heading out the parking lot. Are they ever going to bring them back? Some of you are looking at each other going, you know, Martha, I think we've got some of these in our garage. Amen. What a joy to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you stand with us one more time? We're going to read from the Word of God, and then I'm going to preach a little bit, and then we're going to eat. How many loves to eat? Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, maybe the Scripture will be up there. I'm going to read from the book of Romans in the New Testament, the 5th chapter. Beginning at verse 1, this is what it says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also, listen to this, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Listen to this. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God, He demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Father, we ask that you would bless your word and use it for this special day. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you in your precious name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Wow. A little more than 20 years ago, Londa and I were appointed as home missionaries in this district, and we were getting ready to plant this church in Eagle. Eagle at that time was pretty small. The housing boom was just starting. Eagle Road was two lanes. The village in Meridian was the cornfield. That's all it was. But as we were getting ready to start this church, we were invited to our district's family camp up in Camp Pinewood in McCall. And while we were there, one of the speakers for that camp was an elderly man. He was a man who had planted a number of churches himself throughout his life. And he had approached Londa and I after one of the evening services, and he told us something that we have never forgotten in 20 years. First of all, he said, kids. Now, it's been a long time since somebody called us kids. But he said, kids, he said, whatever you do to bring people into the church, remember you will always have to do that same thing in order to keep them. Whatever you do to bring them in, you will have to continue to do in order to keep them. And you know, that made a lot of sense to us. We had never pastored a church before, never planted a church. We had pastored a couple of times, but never planted one. And we had just decided that we wouldn't try to build this thing with gimmicks or special events or a lot of programs, although we've had some of those things in the past. But I think the thing that probably drove us the most was to build it on two things: the love of God and His grace. Thank God for His grace. First of all, sometimes gimmicks and special events, they take a lot of work. And eventually, we find that given enough time, gimmicks and special events, they no longer carry the weight of the gospel. The gospel can be heavy at times. The gospel requires a lot on our part. The gospel is like carrying a huge backpack on your shoulders from the time you receive Jesus until the day you go home. But I found that the love of God and that the grace of God is something that has lasted throughout the centuries, from the beginning of time even to today. The love of God and the grace of God never fails. Now your pastor, he chose a theme for this day. I thought it was a good theme. It's called 20 Years of Love in Action. Your pastor, I'm sure, was pretty young back 20 years ago. I was a little younger myself. But it's apparent to me that the same Holy Spirit that spoke to our hearts 20 years ago is the same Holy Spirit that's speaking to their hearts today. And it's very apparent to me that the Holy Spirit is speaking those same words: preach God's love and preach God's grace. You see, in this fifth chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to those who have already received Christ as their Savior. And he's saying that as a born-again Christian, that we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You see, to have access means this. It means to be able to approach. To be able to approach God. As if by introduction of going into a king's throne room. You see, believers have been granted admission to stand before God, even though they once were rebels. Even though their lives were loaded down with sin, all of a sudden the blood of Jesus has washed away all of their sins, and now they don't have to stand before God in judgment. Instead, they get to approach His throne, not in the realm of judgment, but now in the realm of grace. Aren't you thankful for grace? You have the King's favor. Say this with me. I stand in favor of the King. Paul goes on and he writes in verse 6. He says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And in verse 8 he says, "And God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, to me, that's love. That really is love. It's love not just in words, but it's love in deed and in truth. It is love in action. Aren't you glad? And now we find that the church takes that same demonstration of His love, and the church now portrays that love to the rest of the world. You know, I've found as the years go on, and it seems like this world gets worse and worse and worse, I found myself that simply as a Christian, I begin to look at all the garbage that goes on in our world today. And too many times I look at the world as the enemy. And I'm here to tell you something today. The world is not the enemy. The world we're called to. The world we're talked to by the Word of God to reach. Someone recently said, "Let us never call the world the enemy." Because God doesn't call the world the enemy, God calls them the harvest.
Amen.
Not only was there a decade of harvest that was started over 20 years ago, but that harvest keeps going on today. Can we have an amen? Man, I remember 20 years ago, I thought, man, how could the world possibly get any worse than it is today? But 20 years later, it's a lot worse. And guess what? I got bad news. 20 years from now, it's going to be even worse than it is today. But the world is still God's harvest.
Amen.
And while we were without strength, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, He demonstrated His own love toward us. We pastor in Phoenix now, and it's not in the nicest of neighborhoods. We have meth heads that walk around and just talk to the air. I got a donut the other day at Dunkin' Donuts and was getting in my pickup, and there was this lady who I thought looked a lot like my sister-in-law. She was high on meth. I had to look twice to make sure it wasn't her, but it wasn't. There's empty tables out in front of the Dunkin' Donuts, and she's standing there just talking away to nobody. And then pretty soon she goes down the street just talking away, just in the air to nobody at all. High on meth. Meth is one of the worst drugs that a person could ever take. It destroys them. It kills them. It kills thousands of people, young people, every year. You can tell a meth addict they have no teeth left. You can only imagine what it does to their insides. Our neighborhood is filled with meth heads. Every week that I go to the post office, I'll get the church mail, and every single week, guaranteed, there is a posting of a sex offender who lives within the neighborhood of our church. Now you and I, we would like to hogtie those people, take them out to the desert and run them across a couple cactus. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But God says when we were still without strength, He died for the ungodly.
Amen.
The Bible says God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were no better than a sex offender ourselves, He demonstrated His love to us. Can I have an amen? You know, one of the very reasons I think that this church has such a beautiful building today is because it has always reached out to people that are unbeautiful.
Amen.
People that most people would have nothing to do with. I can remember there were many Saturdays. One Saturday a month, there were lots of people in this church that had worked hard at their own jobs all week long. They would gather with us at a park in downtown Boise, and they would spend half the day, if not most of the day, out in the parks ministering to the homeless people. We had a big old barbecue grill that could cook 100 hamburgers and about 300 hot dogs all in one shot. Is that thing still running around in this district, that barbecue grill? Praise God. It's going to last. And we would have church services out in the park and testimonies. And one guy that was a part of the church here, he had a beauty salon in Eagle. And he came out one Saturday and he gave free haircuts out to all the homeless people that were there. And then when it got too cold to be in the park, we'd all go on a Saturday to the Boise Rescue Mission and cook for the people there. They were the honored guests as those homeless people came in those doors. Now, I'm here to tell you, some of them were truly homeless, and some were just taking advantage of the system. Somebody say an amen. Yeah. God knows who they are, and God will get them someday. Some people from this church, they would buy bicycles, 10-speeds, mountain bikes, little kids' bikes. And we would take them down to the Boise Rescue Mission and we would hand them out to the homeless people. Number one, so that they could use that bike to get around town and find themselves a job. Can I have a good amen for a job? I've met a lot of people in Phoenix. They don't want no job. Their job is standing out on the street corner with a cardboard sign that says, "Poor, poor, pitiful me. Everybody that's working, give me money." I yelled at a guy the other day, just... There were people in this church that bought makeup kits for the ladies, and they'd put makeup on and they'd feel so much better. There were some of you that bought stocking caps and gloves and coats and boots that would be handed out to the people. They were the honored guests. They're the harvest. You see, this grace in which we stand today, it demonstrates to us the love of God. That love of God that the church now picks up and says, I will demonstrate that same love to the world. I will demonstrate it to the harvest. There was a man that lived in this town. I think he might still be here. His name was Bill. I never knew Bill's last name, just knew him as Bill. Bill was drunk as a skunk. From about 12 noon throughout the rest of the day, every single day. He was about 36 years old when I first met him. Bill was an unusual character. You had probably seen him around town if you'd lived in Eagle very long. In the middle of the winter, he'd be stone drunk and walking around 0 degrees and his just bare-chested, shirt unbuttoned, but we would all worry about Bill freezing. But let me tell you something, he had enough antifreeze in him, he was good for 40 below. Bill was all right, he survived. And one day, Bill came to one of the Sunday night services that we were having in that first church building, stone cold drunk. And he sat in the back row. Everybody started to worship. I don't think Bill had ever been in a Pentecostal service before. And everybody stood up and they started raising their hands and closing their eyes. Bill thought, well, hey, when in Rome, I'll do just like the rest of them. And Bill stood up and he raised his hands and he closed his eyes. Now, let me tell you something. If you are inebriated, you do not want to go to a Pentecostal service and raise your hands straight up in the air and close your eyes to worship. Because within a matter of about 30 seconds, all of a sudden, all of us heard this thump. Bill had passed out. He was passed out in the middle of the aisle, laid there. We just kept worshiping around him, you know, waiting for him to wake up. Oh, wake up, Bill. Come on, you know, this doesn't look good. Finally, a couple minutes later, he wakes up. He looks at me and he gives me one of these. He says, I'm okay. Good, Bill. I didn't live too far from Bill from where I lived. He lived down on the corner of Highway 55 and Floating Feather. I lived just up the street. One day I was headed to the church and Bill was walking down the road and he happened to be sober that day and I picked him up and gave him a ride. Bill looks over at me, he says, I like you, Pastor Rusty. I said, well, I like you too, Bill. And he says, Pastor Rusty, would you pray for me? And I said, well, I'd be happy to, Bill. He said, I've got this major habit in my life. It's been bothering me my whole life. It's something that I just can't let go of. And I thought, finally, you're fessing up here. And He said, it's those cigarettes. He says, I just can't get rid of those cigarettes. I love to smoke. So I prayed that day that God would help him with his cigarettes. I don't know whatever happened to Bill, but I know he's had enough gospel preached to him. He knows about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He knows about the love of God and he knows about his grace. But you see, I believe that the church walls of this building, they cry out with the voices of the unbeautiful. Hello.
Amen.
And those voices are saying, even today, 20 years later, thank you for showing us the love of God. And thank you for showing us His grace.
Amen.
You might ask, what's ahead for this church? Your pastor, when he first was talking to me about this service, he said, can you talk a little bit about the past of the church, how it came from, and then what lies ahead for us? And, well, I don't really know what's ahead. That's God will give you that vision. God will put that in your heart. But what is ahead for this church? You know, when Christ came into this world, He loved it. He showed this world the love of God everywhere that He went. It didn't matter if it was church people or non-church people. He just loved people. But what was ahead for Christ? It was the cross. That's the whole reason that Jesus was born as a baby from a virgin. That whole reason was to come and to go to the cross.
Amen.
What's ahead for the church? What's ahead for any church? It should always be the cross.
Amen.
It's not about if we become the biggest church in town. It's not about, let's see how famous we can get, or if we can wind up on TV and, you know, go through all those things. No, what lies ahead for every church should always be the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just like Christ dying on the cross to bring grace to the world, the church too, it has to die to truly show forth that grace and that love to the world.
Amen.
You see, if we don't die, if we don't die to ourselves, then this gospel we preach is nothing but words.
Amen.
If we, the representatives of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, if we are more concerned about ourselves and what we have and what we do and what kind of car we drive and what kind of house we live in and all that kind of stuff, we might as well fold this book up and set it on a back shelf in a library somewhere because it's no different than any other book. This thing comes alive when we die. When we die to ourselves. And the world is our focus. Jesus said this. He said, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to bear my cross. Tough. Jesus said, if we don't bear our cross, we cannot be His. We cannot be His disciple.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us that there were all kinds of people that died on a cross in the days of Jesus. They were all criminals except for Christ Himself.
Amen.
So to bear His cross and come after me is like the one carrying a cross who essentially walks to his own crucifixion, his own execution. When they carry that cross, they know that there's no turning back. I've got the cross on me now. There's no turning back to my old ways and my old life and my old dreams and my old desires and my old wants. I have taken on the cross now and my life doesn't belong to me anymore. It is a total and complete commitment to Jesus Christ. That's what it means to carry the cross. Lots of people say, well, it's easy to be a Christian. No, it's not. I've been doing this thing for over 30 years. It's one of the hardest things you can ever do. But I'll tell you what, the benefits are remarkable.
Amen.
It's the greatest journey that a person could ever go on by walking with Jesus Christ. Remember when Christ died on the cross, how the earth had quaked and the rocks were split? And then all of those who had not believed in Him to be the Messiah, to be the Savior, as soon as they saw all of those things happen, and as soon as they saw Jesus Himself die, they fell on their knees. And they believed. You see, if the church It doesn't matter if we're Assembly of God or Baptist or Lutheran. Whoever has come to Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come and live in my heart. You have now become part of the church.
Amen.
But remember, if the church who represents Christ, if we would just die ourselves, if we would die to our egos, if we would die to our own desires, if we would die to our own dreams and die to our pride and yes, even die to our own sin. Can I have a good amen? That's going to shake up the whole world and cause them to want to come to Christ. Well, the world's going to get worse and worse. Well, sure it is. But we're going to die. Doesn't that just make you feel like going out and dying? It's just wonderful. Well, not really, but you know what I'm talking about. It takes us dying to ourselves to show the grace and the love of God. But what carries this grace and what carries this love to the far reaches of this world isn't necessarily our death, but it is our resurrection. Hello. It's not that we stay in the grave of our own lives, but it's that we come out of this grave and we walk around alive in Jesus Christ. You see, when Christ died, there were many who had believed. But I think if Jesus would have stayed in the grave very long at all, most people who had followed Him would have quit following. Some of them started to do it already within 3 days. But you see, Jesus was in the grave only 3 days. So I don't believe that He ever calls you and I to stay in the grave after dying to ourselves very long at all. But He calls us to get up and to rise up and to take that grace in which we stand and now let's carry it to the rest of the world. Carry it to the harvest. I think Jesus had showed me something 20 years ago and that was to rise up and carry His grace. Even when you think you don't have the strength to do it. Hello? You know, there's lots of times I get up and I look in the mirror and I go, oh man, God, how can I do what You want me to do? God, I don't have any strength. Remember verse 6, for when you were still without strength, Christ died for you. He died for the ungodly. You know, when this church, when it wasn't even 6 months old, we had our first missionary come. His name was Darrell Blatchley. Him and his wife are missionaries still today to the Philippines. And he came and he preached at our church. And I remember something that he said at the end of that service that Sunday morning. He came up to me, you know, church is only 6 months old. It's really just a baby itself. And he says, have you started looking for land yet? And I was like, you got to be kidding. How could we possibly even think about looking for land? We just got a few people. We don't hardly have any money. How could this ever happen? He said, start looking for land.
Glory.
You see, when we were still without strength, Jesus knows what's ahead.
Amen.
Jesus knew what to do. And I remember there were folks that came to me that Sunday and said, let's take on the Blatchleys for $75 a month as our first missionaries. And on the outside, I was like, yeah, I think we need to do that. On the inside, I was like, we don't have enough money to do that. But you know what? We rose up anyway. And today this church sponsors missionaries with monthly pledges, missionaries that are virtually going around the world. One of your members today just told me this morning that he's getting ready to take a team to Guatemala soon. Somebody say a good amen.
Amen.
It's not about us, it's about them. It's not about the church, it's about the harvest. Carry that grace. Carry that grace to the Philippines. Carry it to Europe. Carry it around the world. Carry it into your neighborhoods. Carry it into your schools. Carry it into your jobs. Carry it to your families, to the far reaches of the earth. Carry this grace. Carry that grace. In closing now, carry that grace. Even to those who can't return the favor. Can I say that again? Carry this grace even to those who cannot or will not return the favor.
Amen.
You know, unfortunately, many times we see today there might be some churches that they won't even mess with things like giving to foreign missions or home missions. They won't even help the poor or the needy or the orphaned or the widow. There are many today that they won't help those various people groups who cannot physically get up and go to their own church services and sit in their own chairs and sing their worship songs and listen to their pastor and fill their seats and put money in the offering plate. Carry the grace to those who can't do any of that stuff. Earlier this year, Winona had called. Winona Scott. Somebody say, thank God for Winona. There she is. Amen. Praise the Lord. She helped with a lot of the colors and things in this building. She did a great job. But earlier this year, Winona had called me, and she asked if I would go see a friend of hers that she knows who lives in Phoenix. And this lady's name is Norma. Norma at that time was in stage 3 cancer. And Winona had mentioned to me, what scares me the most, she said, is I'm not sure if she knows the Lord. So I told her, well, I'll go and I'll visit with Norma and I'll talk to her about Jesus. And I was so excited. I thought, you know, anybody with stage 3 cancer, if you say, would you want to receive Christ as your Savior, it's going to be yes. So I got out my Bible and I wrote down all those scriptures, you know, the Romans road to salvation, where you go through Romans and you write down the various scriptures. It talks about that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and on and on and on, right up to the point that you can lead somebody to Christ. I spoke to her for about 20 minutes and I looked at Norma all of a sudden and I said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I thought, this is in the bag. She could die tonight. Norma looked at me and she said, no. Scared me a little bit. She said, I don't believe all that stuff. And it kind of opened my eyes that the harvest doesn't always believe this same book that you and I believe. And it's okay in a way, because with the love of God and the grace of God and the touch of the Holy Spirit upon their life, they can soon find out that this thing is true from cover to cover. Amen. And has lasted throughout the centuries and will last throughout eternity. Hallelujah. 2 weeks had gone by. I'm sitting in my office, and Christine, Norma's daughter, drove Norma to the church. And she helped bring Norma into the office. Norma's now very frail and probably no more than 90 pounds. And Norma sat down and she said, I've been thinking about it. That reminded me of the scripture when Jesus said, we count the cost to see if we got enough to finish it. Hello? Don't just jump into being a Christian just because it sounds good, or just because your friend became one, or somebody that you know became one. You need to consider what it's going to cost you, because it will cost you greatly. Amen. Norma considered the cost. She said, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. We didn't put her on TV. We didn't write an article about her for a newspaper. But we bowed our heads in that little tiny office building and just led her through a very simple prayer, and she invited Christ into her heart to forgive her of every sin she'd ever committed. And you know what? Jesus forgave her. And then I got on my cell phone immediately and we called Winona. And I said, there's somebody here that wants to talk to you. And I handed the phone to Norma, and Norma says, Winona, guess what I just did? I asked Jesus into my heart. And we're all crying. I could hear Winona crying. We were snorting and snuffling and all that kind of stuff. It was amazing what God had done.
Amen.
Norma is actually your governor, Butch Otter's sister-in-law. It's a small world. This is what she told me just recently. She said, "I never liked him as a brother-in-law, but he makes a great governor." Last week, in the middle of the week, 11:15 a.m., I got a phone call. Norma was in hospice, frail as can be. She passed away, but I'll guarantee you she went straight into the arms of Jesus. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Norma had been in our church maybe a total of 4 times. And it hit me the other day, she'll never be in our church again. That's hard. Because as pastors, you expect everybody in the world to come to your church. And it doesn't work that way. Carry the grace. Carry the love. Even to those who can't return the favor.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I was talking with Ann Walters the other day. Don't you just love Tom and Ann?
Amen.
You guys get them for the summer, but we get them for the winter. Great winters. Winters are great in Phoenix. If you want to come see us, you can. We're close to great hotels, really nice hotels. Somebody called the other day and said, there you go. Somebody called the other day and said, "We're in town." I said, "Great, what hotel are you staying in?" But Ann was telling me the other day over the phone, she says, "We've been looking through, just records of the church from the time it had started until today, 20 years later." And she said, "We have record of this church having touched about 1,000 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ." That's amazing. Your pastor would love to see 1,000 people here next Sunday. I'd love to see 100 people at my church next Sunday. But that doesn't matter. What matters is we touch them, wherever they are, with God's love and His grace.
Hallelujah.
Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, we come to You today. God, I just want to thank You for this amazing day that You've given. And Lord, this celebration isn't over. God, it's just beginning. And from here, it reaches out to this community. It reaches out to this town. I thank You for this pastor, Pastor Mark, or Pastor Brad and Lori Murphy. God, give him 20 good years ahead to lead this group of people, this congregation. Sometimes even to greater things than we ever imagined 20 years ago. Lord, You've picked a good one for here. He's honest. He's down to earth and He loves people. And God, we know that's what it takes. Use this church for Your glory for the next 20 years and beyond. Let them reach out and carry Your grace to every person they come across. Lord, we love You and we thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys.